Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Well, if you would, please open your Bibles to Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8.
Pastor Wood, aren't you even going to read chapter 7 aloud?
Nope. It's there. You can read it. I hope you will. It's not one of the classic genealogies. It is a census report. And that's why we're not going to take time to read it this morning. But it's not that it's not God's word or that it doesn't have any significance. It's simply not the focus of the message this morning. Our text this morning is in Nehemiah chapter 8. This is God's word. When the seventh month came and the Israelites had settled in their towns, all the people assembled as one man in the square before the water gate. They told Ezra the scribe to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded for Israel. So on the first day of the seventh month, Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, which was made up of men and women and all who were able to understand. He read it aloud from daybreak till noon as he faced the square before the water gate in the presence of the men, women, and others who could understand. And all the people listened attentively to the book of the law. Ezra the scribe stood on a high wooden platform built for the occasion. Beside him on his right stood Mattathiah, Shema, Ananiah, Uriah, Hilkiah, and Maaseiah. And on his left were Padiah, Mishael, Malkijah, Hashum, Hashbadana, Zechariah, and Meshulam. Ezra opened the book. All the people could see him because he was standing above them. And as he opened it, the people all stood up. Ezra praised the Lord, the great God. And all the people lifted their hands and responded, "Amen, amen." Then they bowed down and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. The Levites, Yeshua, Bani, Sherebiah, Jamin, Akub, Shabbathai, Hodiah, Messai, Kalita, Azariah, Jozabad, Hanan, and Peliah instructed the people in the law while the people were standing there. They read from the book of the law of God, making it clear and giving the meaning so that the people could understand what was being read. Then Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who were instructing the people said to them all, "This day is sacred to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep, for all the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law." Nehemiah said, "Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is sacred to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." The Levites calmed all the people, saying, "Be still, for this is a sacred day. Do not grieve." Then all the people went away to eat and drink, to send portions of food and to celebrate with great joy, because they now understood the words that had been made known to them. On the second day of the month, the heads of all the families, along with the priests and the Levites, gathered around Ezra the scribe to give attention to the words of the law. They found written in the law, which the Lord had commanded through Moses, that the Israelites were to live in booths during the feast of the seventh month, and that they should proclaim this word and spread it throughout their towns and in Jerusalem. Go out into the hill country and bring back branches from olive and wild olive trees, and from myrtles, palms, and shade trees, to make booths, as it is written. So the people went out and brought back branches and built themselves booths on their own roofs, in their courtyards, in the courts of the house of God, and in the square by the water gate, and the one by the gate of Ephraim. The whole company that had returned from exile built booths and lived in them. From the days of Joshua, son of Nun, until that day, the Israelites had not celebrated it like this. And their joy was very great. Day after day, from the first day to the last, Ezra read from the book of the law of God. They celebrated the feast for 7 days. And on the eighth day, in accordance with the regulation, there was an assembly. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Is there anything spiritual about going camping? I mean, these people all went camping. Is there anything spiritual about that? Is it something that all Christians everywhere need to go camping? I see some young, eager faces nodding and saying, yes, this is good. Actually, there are some wonderful benefits and some good things that can come from camping, but it depends on why you're camping. And we're going to talk about that when we get to the end of this chapter, hopefully. But I want you to see, just as with the camping, it depends on why you do it. Likewise, with the other things we will observe taking place in this chapter, whether or not it is a good thing to do depends on why you do it. If you're doing it out of obedience to God, it is a good thing. If you're doing it because you've seen somebody else doing it, then it's just tradition. And there are a lot of dead traditions in churches that nobody knows really why we do it that way. We just have always done it that way. Why do so many churches have worship at 11 a.m. on Sunday morning? Why is it 11 a.m.? For so many churches, for so long. It was to give the farmers time to do their chores. It really was. We were a largely agrarian society, and farmers had chores to do. And so the idea was, that'll give you time to get everything done, get back in, get cleaned up, get dressed up, and make it over to church in the wagon. Okay? And when things changed, the time of the service didn't change. Because that's the way we've always done it. Folks, that is the reason for so much confusion within the body of Christ. There are many things in the scripture that we no longer do because somebody began to think it was just tradition. And so, we can get rid of the tradition. Let's find out what it's there for, shall we? What was the purpose? If we don't understand the purpose, then we're not as likely to pass it effectively to the next generation. So, camping. They all went camping because God told them to. That's a great reason to go camping. But do we all need to celebrate the Feast of Booths? Actually, no. It's fine to. What was going on during the Feast of Booths? God was reminding the people of his deliverance, how he had saved them from Egypt, and that when they went through the wilderness, he camped with them. That's a great thing to remember. But folks, when we think on what God has done to save us, we're not thinking about deliverance from Egypt as a nation. We're thinking about deliverance from slavery to sin and Satan and death, God's wrath. We have been set free, and so we do something in obedience to our Lord to mark what he has done for us. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. All of you, drink from it. We have a way of celebrating what God did to deliver us. And what we do should never just be tradition. It should always be obedience.
You are listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. This program is paid for by the generous donations of listeners like you. You can hear Pastor Wood's teachings 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at pastorwood.org. And when you visit pastorwood.org, we would greatly appreciate it if you would tell us a little bit about yourself and, if possible, also make a donation to this ministry. So please visit pastorwood.org today or give us a call at 866-41-ABIDE.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Now let's look again at a few of the details in this story. When the seventh month came and the Israelites had settled in their towns, all the people assembled as one man in the square before the water gate. That speaks of unity. They assembled as one man. They told Ezra the scribe to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded for Israel. They came eager to hear God's word. You see that? There was an eagerness to hear God's word. There's a lot I could say about that, but let me just ask you, are you eager to hear from God? Are you eager to know what he says? These folks were. So on the first day of the seventh month, Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, which was made up of men and women and all who were able to understand. My goal in preaching is not that people would say after I'm done, wow, that was really clever. Wow, that was really creative. Wow, I never would have seen that. My goal is that after people have heard what I say from the scriptures, they'd say, man, that's right, that's exactly what it says. Wow, I hadn't noticed that before, but verse 7 does say that, doesn't it? That's the goal. Because folks, I want you to understand something. I want everybody who hears me to understand this. I'm not the guy with the answers. God's the one with the answers, and he's given the answers to us in his word. Preaching is about expounding what God has already said. It's not getting some new thing. It's simply teaching what God says. This is what he says. You have it. The purpose of what happened here in Nehemiah chapter 8 was that the people would hear God's word and understand God's word so that they would obey God's word. Now let's talk for a moment about the response of the people. When the word was read, Ezra, verse 5, opened the book. All the people could see him because he was standing above them. As he opened it, the people all stood up. And Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people stood there with their hands folded and tried to look Presbyterian. These people all lifted their hands. Can I see you lift your hands this morning? Can you do that? Okay. Wow, you can do that. They did. They lifted their hands and they responded. Wow, they responded. They responded, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. These people responded. They responded to the word of God and they said, amen and amen. We ought to be able to do that.
Amen.
Not only that, hear this, then they bowed down and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Well, that's inconvenient. Well, it wasn't something where they were told to do it. It was the spontaneous overflow of the fact that they realized when we hear the word of God, we are in the presence of God. And in the presence of God, there is awe and amazement. And so they did what comes naturally when you realize I'm in the presence of God. They expressed it physically. Whether it was raising their hands, whether it was saying amen, which means so be it, or whether it was bowing down on the ground with their faces to the ground, they were expressive of their worship. They didn't just try and sit still. Now, I got to tell you, a lot of us were trained to sit still. I was. It was considered essential that everybody sit still, be quiet, look like you're paying attention. And I learned that lesson well. I became good at it. Then in my teen years, I started going to a meeting where they sang songs and expressed themselves more outwardly. And they sang the song, "Thy Loving Kindness is Better Than Life," which is straight out of the book of Psalms. And when they got to the part about, "I will lift up my hands into thy name," they would actually lift their hands up in the air. And I'm sitting in a room full of people who have their hands up in the air, and I couldn't do it. I could not bring myself to do it. It was just, it went against everything that I had been taught and had drilled into me for years. It just seemed so emotional. So I sat there, bound up emotionally. And finally, one week, I remember it vividly, I was able to turn my palms over. A week or two later, I was able to bend my elbows. Thought, victory in Jesus. Okay? Eventually, I got to where I could go like this. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, we should not be all bound up. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. We need to just relax. What if I get all emotional? It's okay. It's okay. But I might cry. That's all right. It's okay. The goal is not emotion, but neither is the goal to suppress emotion. The goal is to worship God. Worship Him. So, they bowed down and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Then the Levites read from the book of the law, making it clear and giving the meaning so that the people could understand what was being read. You had more than one person who was explaining things to the people because they had a huge congregation. Then Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who were instructing the people said to them all, "This is a day sacred to the Lord God. Don't mourn or weep." Because when the people were hearing the law, it made them cry. Now, why would hearing the law make them cry? Because what they heard is God says we're supposed to live like this. And what they knew was they hadn't been living that way. They'd been living like this over here. If you and I really listen to the Word of God, we will, even as Christians, as those who are in Christ, in an ongoing way recognize God saying to us, "I have so much more for you. I have so much more for you. Don't stop where you are. I want to bless you beyond what you can imagine." And part of that blessing is turning from sin. People who think, "Well, I just can't change. That's just the way I am. Everybody in my family's always had a bad temper. I just can't help it. I'm just that way." Well, that's not true. The Apostle Paul rebukes the Corinthians because he says, "You're behaving as if you were merely men. If you're in Christ, you're not just human. You're a new creature. God, the Holy Spirit, has come to live within you, and you now have the power to say no to those thoughts, those feelings, those desires, those attacks of the enemy. You don't have to keep doing the stuff you were doing. Repent. That's a message of hope. You can change." So, they were weeping. And as they wept and mourned, they were told, "Stop that." Instead of thinking, "Oh, I've messed up," realize God is now showing you what to do. You don't have to keep doing what you've been doing. Move from the law that convicts to the grace that enables us to walk in the freedom of the children of God. God's calling us out of darkness into light. Now, when you find out that you've been doing it all wrong, that is embarrassing, mortifying. And if it moves you to tears, that's understandable. But don't stop there. Don't stay there. In order to receive His grace, we need to know that we are sinners and we need to confess our sins. Jesus talks about two guys who went up to the temple, one of whom said, "Lord, I thank you that I'm not as other men. I don't do this, this, and this, and I do this, and I do this, and I do this." Jesus says he was just talking to himself. God was not impressed. But he said there was another man who was in the back And he was so ashamed, he couldn't even look up to heaven. He just beat his chest and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. But listen to what Jesus says. That man went home justified. On the one hand, that repentant, contrite heart was necessary in order to receive God's grace. But folks, when you receive God's grace, you don't go home still looking down, beating your chest and saying, I'm such a sinner. I'm just a terrible person. This is awful. He received God's grace. He went home justified. If you've just been justified, if you've just been forgiven, if you've just been released from the debt that you owe, do you say, oh, boy, I can't believe how much I owed? Or do you say, oh, I'm free. I've been delivered. I'm not the person I was. Understand this, folks. We have every reason to rejoice. And that is what Nehemiah records for us. Do not mourn or weep. All the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. Verse 10, Nehemiah said, go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is sacred to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And the Levites calmed all the people saying, be still, this is a sacred day, do not grieve. So then all the people went away to eat and drink and to send portions of food and to celebrate with great joy. Did you hear that? They celebrated with great joy because they now understood the words that had been made known to them. Then they come back, beginning in verse 13, and they hear from the word of God that they're supposed to have an annual family camping. Every year, every family is supposed to camp together in order to remember what God did to deliver them and how God had been with them. So, verse 16, they obey. The people went out and brought back branches and built themselves booths on their own roofs in their courtyards in the house of God, in the courts of the house of God, and in the square by the water tower, or the water gate, and the one by the gate of Ephraim. Hear me. Please hear me. This is very important. They wove into their children's experience and their own experience special memories that would cause the children to ask, as God had said they should and would, why do we do this? What is the purpose of this? And that is the teachable moment, parents, when you're able to say, the reason we do this and the neighbors don't is because of what God has done for us. So you want to weave into your family experience, into the life of the church, those things that cause the children to ask. Not because you're doing something weird, but because you're being obedient to God. And the kids say, why do we do this? What does this mean? And that's your opportunity to teach them. You teach them what God has done for us. And look at what happens. Verse 17. The whole company that had returned from exile built booths, lived in them from the days of Joshua the son of Nun to that day. The Israelites had not celebrated like this. And their joy was very great. I want you to say, their joy was very great. It turns out obedience leads to joy. Because God knows what will really bless us. And day after day, from the first day to the last, Ezra read from the book of the law of God, and they celebrated the feast for 7 days. And on the eighth day, in accordance with the regulation, there was an assembly. Now, in the next chapter, they're going to get real serious. They're going to confess their sins. They're going to repent. They're going to make a commitment to God. But I want you to see that that kind of commitment flows out of attention to the Word of God, and obedience to the Word of God. And obedience, before it ever produces commitment, will produce joy. If you do what God says, it'll bring joy. And as you discover the joy of doing what God says, it'll produce commitment.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.